ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th Canto, Chapter 3, Text 21, Hiranyakashipu plans to become immortal. Tatastatas shisha sarve. Hidanyasura hugam hugava. Tashyate hi amartasya Darshanana param mama Tastas ashrita ashrisha sarva Hidanya asura hungava Tachyate yas marchasya
Matasyate yama marchasya
Darshana napalam mama Word for word. Tapa. Because of this. Te. Unto you. Ashrisha. Benedictions. Sarva. All. Adami, I shall give Asura Pungava, the best of the Asuras, Martasya, the one who is destined to die, Te, such as you, he, indeed, Amartasya, one who does not die. Darshanam, the audience. Na, not. Apalam, without results. Mama, my. Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O best of the Asuras, for this reason, I am now prepared to give you all benedictions, according to your desire. I belong to the celestial world of demigods, who do not die like human beings. Therefore, although you are subject to death, your audience with me will not go in vain. Purport. It appears that human beings and asuras are subject to death, whereas demigods are not. The demigods who reside with Brahma, with Lord Brahma, in Svachaloka, go to Vaikuntha in their present body, constructed construction, in their present bodily construction, at the time of dissolution. Therefore, although Hiranyakashipu had undergone severe austerities, Lord Brahma predicted that he had to die. He could not become immortal, even gain equal status with the demigods. The great austerity and penance he performed for so many years could not give him protection from death. This was foretold by Lord Brahma. Omagyanat ramdasya jananjana sakaya saksurum mitam jena tasmei shi guru vinaha shri shitani manobhishtam stapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa kadamayam nandasvapadantam Manjikopa Trubhyascha, Hiva Sindhu Vibhacha, Anam Bhavaneo, Vaishnavi, Yamaha. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nichananda, Chiyadraita Garada, Shibhasana, Goma Bhakti. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Translation once again, O Bastard Asuras, for this reason I'm now prepared to give you all benedictions, according to your desire. I belong to the celestial world, demigods, who do not die like human beings. Therefore, although you are subject to death, your audience with me will not go in vain. So Maharani Kashipu wanted to become immortal. So he underwent austerity. For 100 years, he stood on his toes with his arms raised. And because of his austerity, fire was coming out from his head, and the demigods were feeling the heat. So they went to Lord Brahma for help. So Lord Brahma came to the rescue to save the demigods and fulfill Hirani Kachipu's desires. So here it says, the demigods who reside with Lord Brahma in Chachaloka go to Vaikuntha in their present bodily construction at the time of dissolution. So we can have a survey. How many people in this room know that Lord Brahma goes back to Godhead? How many people know before reading this verse that Lord Brahma from Sachiloka goes directly to Vaikuntha Loka? How many people know that? Not many. And how many people know that Lord Brahma, not only with his demigods who reside with Lord Brahma, go to Vaikuntha in their present bodily construction? It's something I didn't even know. Not only does he go to Vaikuntha, but he doesn't change his body. Because Brahmaloka is so close to Vaikuntha. And in Brahmaloka, people don't suffer like we do, the threefold miseries. There's no modes of nature there. Now, to confirm this statement, Bhagavad Gita says in chapter 8, text number 14, Brahma Bhuvana Loka. Punar avitina arjuna, mamubecha tukuntaya punar jana navijite. From the highest planets in the material world down to the lowest, all places of misery wherein repeated birth and death take place. But one who obtains my abode, O son of Kunti, never takes birth again. So if you read that verse, this verse also includes Brahma Loka. But the Prabhupada's purport, which is the opinion of the Acharyas, says something different. It says the practice of sacrifice enables one to achieve Brahmaloka. But if on Brahmaloka one does not cultivate Krishna consciousness, then he has to return to earth. Those who progress in Krishna consciousness on the higher planets are gradually elevated higher and higher planets. At the time of universal devastation, are transferred to the eternal kingdom. Maladvay Vijayavushan gives his commentary. When there's a devastation in the material universe, Brahma and his devotees who are constantly engaged in Krishna consciousness are all transferred to the spiritual universe and to specific spiritual planets according to their desires. So, this confirms that not only Brahmaloka, but there's three planets, Janaloka, Tapaloka, and Maharloka, where different sages live and perform devotional service, and they also go back to Godhead. At the partial devastation, they're not annihilated. At the end of Brahma's life, they also go back to Godhead. But all the other demigods have to come back to the material world, take birth again. All the other demigods and their karma runs out have to come back to come back again to this earth planet, or when there's Brahmas left, or Brahmas life, they get wound up with the Mahavishnu and come back again. So this is a, when I read this verse so many times, I never understood it, that it says from the highest plan down to lowest, all places of misery, repeated birth and death take place. So this is an exception to the rule. Lord Brahma's planet and all his residents are performing those who service, and they have no anxiety or misery. Their only anxiety is that the people, to see the people in the material world suffering. They have compassion for the suffering living entities. So Maharaj Parikshit, he heard Srimad Bhagavatam from Sukadeva Goswami. 7 days he fasted, he didn't drink water. He didn't drink water or sleep for 7 days. Then at the end of that time, his mother, Uttara, she wanted him to speak again. So he spoke Brihat Bhagavatamrita. And Brihat Bhagavatamrita is the, so much more information is there that's not in the Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita. And one person whose name is Gop Kumar, he met a guru, his guru, in Vrindavan, and then he got a Gopa mantra, and he went to all the different realms to see what was going on there. So he went to Janalok, Tapalok, Mahalok, and Brahmalok. And Tapalok is the planet where people go. If someone practices celibacy his whole life, he's not sinful, he goes to Tapalok. And on Tapalok, the four Kumaras reside there. Because when Lord Brahma was creating different living entities, he created the four Kumaras, came out of his body. And he ordered the four Kumaras to populate, grow up, get married, and populate the world. He wanted them to be progenitors. But the four Kumaras were not interested in family life. They said, no, we're not going to get entangled in family life. As a matter of fact, they said, we're not even going to grow up. So they stay 4 or 5 years old. They are clothed by the four directions, and they are headed in Kumar Sampradaya, pure devotees of the Lord. So this is one order. If the spiritual master orders you to get married, you can refuse that order. Ordinarily, it's an offense to the holy name, disobey the orders of the spiritual master. But if you really feel that you don't want to get married, then you don't have to get, you can disregard that order. But generally people don't. Or people, it's the other way around, people ask their spiritual master if I can get married. So that's the system. If a brahmachari feels too much disturbed and being a brahmachari, then he can request permission from his spiritual master to enter the grihastha ashram. Of course, there's four ashrams: brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, and sannyas. In the three ashrams, brahmachari, vanaprastha, and sannyas, there's no association with women. And you know, only in grihastha ashram is one allowed to associate with his wife and to have a sex life. But Krishna says, I am sex life according to religious principles. That means you can have sex once in a month at the right time to get Krishna conscious children and not otherwise. This is Shastra injunction. So all of us, the time initiation, we make a vow, no meeting, no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex. That applies to everyone, men and women, and it applies to the householders. They may want to say, well, household life, it's not, you can't follow that principle. And I'm only having sex with my wife, nobody else. But that's not the instruction Prabhupada calls that legalized prostitution. The hostel, so all the ashrams are meant for tapasya. So the Grihastha ashram is also meant for tapasya, although it's a license for sense gratification. Maybe easier to live. The brahmachari sees the householder, thinks the green grass is greener on the other side. So he thinks that, I don't like being a brahmachari and I have to be under the authority, someone's authority, it's too strict, I don't like the prasadam, I don't like my bed, and so many excuses, I gotta come to all the morning programs, let me change my ashram, and then I'll be happy. So the gate puts on white, the permission is guru, he goes to the astrologer, he does everything, gets married, and he may be happy for a short time. Then he realizes that it was better to be a brahmachari. But Grihastha life means, Prabhupada says, Grihastha life means advancement is very slow or next to nil. Because in Grihastha life, you have to get money. The wife wants a house. First, you get a wife, then he wants a house, then there's children, then there's a car, then there's this and that. You have to have a steady income, or the wife's not satisfied. Because women are, by nature, have to have so many things. So it's a big responsibility that the house, man and wife live together. The man is supposed to protect the wife, but he's not supposed to see the wife as a tool for his sense gratification. He's supposed to see the wife as a servant, as a gopi, or a... the devotee of Krishna and meant for Krishna's pleasure. So people who live household life, grihastha life, mean they make Krishna the center of their life. Otherwise it's griyamedi life. Griyamedi life means people only are interested in sense gratification and maintain the status quo to have all the things that everybody else has. But even in grihastha life, one should only accept the bare necessities of life, not more than it required, to maintain body and soul together. So the brahmacharis, grihasthas, and vanaprasthas should not associate with women, and only for the sake of preaching, collecting funds, only an important business, not otherwise. Prabhupada set up the society. At first they had a brahmachari, brahmacharini ashram. But that was not done by the Gaudiya Math. The Prabhupada saw that men and women in America couldn't live separate. There had to be some arrangement for women. Rule was that no free mingling between men and women. Women are separate, the men are separate, and all our programs are like that. So they're not allured. So this is the strict injunction. The men, whatever ashram you're in, you should follow that standard. So, Brahma and residents of Brahma Loka, they go back to Vaikuntha at the end of at the time of dissolution, at the end of Brahma's life. And those who are on Tapalok, Janalok, and Mahalok are not to also go back to Godhead. So Gop Kumar, he visited Tapalok and Mahalok to see what they were doing. Shri Gaurinitaya Krishna Balarada Shama Sundar. So in Srimad Bhagavatam it says the four Kumaras are the first incarnations of the Lord. The first human incarnations, human form, and the fish incarnation is the first animal form of incarnation. So, everyone in this material world has to die. No one can free themselves from death. One man thought, if I put stool all over my body, then the Yamaraj won't come to me. But that's not a fact, because it's not the body that goes to Yamaloka, it's the soul. And the five Pandavas were in the forest, and one day they said they were feeling thirsty. So they went to drink some water. But an unembodied voice said, "Before you drink the water, answer my questions or you'll die." So one by one, they went and they drank the water and they all died, except for Maharaj Yudhisthira. So when Maharaj Yudhisthira went there and heard the voice, he agreed. So there were so many questions were asked. But the most important question was, what is the most wonderful thing in this world? And he said, "Ahani hami bhutani." Good. Gachatani yama layam. Everyone goes every day. So many people are going to Yamaloka. But those who are staying in this material world are always making permanent arrangements to stay here. So everyone is under the illusion that I'm not going to die, that's for someone else. Or at least, when I'm a young man, I think that I'm not going to die until I get old. But that's not the case. You see that babies, when they're born, have defects and they die prematurely. You see that children die, young men die, people of all ages are dying. So Maharaj Parikshit, he had noticed he was cursed to die in 7 days. So he could prepare himself. But we don't have notice. Like if we just saw by Andras Prabhu's appearance, he was in his room in the Brahmacharya ashram, seemed completely safe from any danger. But one day, he went to light his stove to cook, and since he had made his room soundproof, the gas leak was leaking, and everything was finished. And his life was finished. So we may make all arrangements to be comfortable and to avoid death, but we don't know when death will come. Any moment, something can happen. The ceiling can fall in, there can be fire, there can be terrorist attack, there can be, anything, hurricanes, tornadoes, anything, floods. So many things there, by natural nature's arrangement, so many natural disasters, so many people die. A couple years ago, they did a sacrifice in Nepal and killed so many thousands of animals. Following that, there was a big earthquake, which devastated many buildings and many people died. So death is everything. And only things that are certain in this world, two things are certain in this world, death and taxes. Those two things are for certain. Everything else may be doubtful or questionable. So when you take birth, if someone takes birth, then you have to die. And when you die, you have to take birth again. So we don't agree with the scientists who say that life is a combination of chemicals and that at the end of life, there's nothing. Because most people believe that the life, after the end of their life, there's nothing happens, and they're not responsible for their activities. But this is not a fact. And whatever you do in this life, you incur, you have to go with you. Your karma takes you with, goes with you, and you have to go to Yamaraj and get judged. But that only takes place on this planet. On other planets, people are not judged by Yamaraj. So the demigods, when you die and leave your body in the mode of goodness, you go to the heavenly planets, become a demigod. And then you can live for so many thousands of years. But that also is not permanent. When your time runs out, then you have to come back to the earth planet again. So, this is the nature of this material world. That is a place of misery and suffering. We suffer from adi-daivak, adi-atmak, adi-bodhic miseries. Miseries of the body and the mind, miseries of the demigods, and miseries of the natural disturbances. There's always so many different kinds of misery. And what we think is pleasure or happiness is just a moment's relief from the suffering. So, always some problem in the material world. So we're running to the four ages. There's the Kali, Satyayuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, and Kali Yuga. In Satyayuga, 100% of the people are religious, and the mode of goodness is prominent. In Treta Yuga, 75% of the people are God conscious, and the mode of passion is more prominent. In Dwapara Yuga, 50% people are God conscious, and the mode of passion and ignorance are combined. But in Kali Yuga, 25% are not even that anymore, are religious, and the mode of passion and ignorance, and mainly the mode of ignorance, is the most prominent. So in different ages, Satyayuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, people didn't suffer like we suffer now. Suffering was much less. And we know the demigods, they don't suffer like we do. They have ethereal bodies. They have different kinds of bodies. And they can enjoy for hundreds of years. But it's all temporary. So, but the one thing about Kali Yuga is the place, this earth planet is the place where one can perform devotional service. So the residents of Jambudvip, the residents of the planet, higher planet, the demigods, they're praying that they can take birth on this earth planet. Because in the heavenly planets, there's too much enjoyment to become God conscious. And in the hellish planets, there's too much suffering. On the earth planet, there's not too much suffering and not too much enjoyment. Therefore, it's easy to take the devotional service. Natevidu Sarakatimi Vishnu. That's what Pala Maharaj told his father. The goal of life is to go back home, back to Godhead, not to remain here in this material world. So all the devotees, we know this, but the demons, like Rani Kashipu, he's going to ask for so many benedictions, become immortal, so he won't have to die. And also Ravana worshiped Lord Shiva to get the same benediction, that he won't have to die. But in Ravana's case, he said, I don't want to die from anyone except a human being. So Lord Ramachandra came as a human being and killed Ravana. But Rani Kashyapu, he thought he had covered all the bases, and when he wanted to be immortal. So no one else could actually come except with the Lord himself, right? In the Lord Fort of Lord of Shingadev, the Kilarani Kashipu. But actually, Lord Nrsingadev didn't come to kill Arandikashiku. He came to protect his devotee. Because Krishna always reciprocates with his devotees and wants to protect his devotees. Even though so many demons are there, it's not necessary for the Lord to come to kill demons, because he can kill them in so many other ways by his material energy. So there were many demons who, demons, the devotees and the demons, the asuras. Asuras, they want some material benediction, they want power, they want wealth, women. Lord Chaitanya said, Nadan Janadan Sindarim Kavita Vata Ishwari Mama Jamin Jamin Ishwari Bhagavad Bhakti Haiti Kitahi. I don't want wealth, I don't want women, I don't want any followers. All I want is your devotional service birth after birth. The demons want some, get some benediction. So they pray to Lord Shiva. One demon, his name was Rikishura, he was wanting to get a benediction. So he asked Narada Muni, who should I pray to get a benediction? So Narada Muni said, you pray to Lord Shiva, because Lord Shiva is easily pleased. Ashutosh. So over 1 year he worshipped Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva didn't come. So he started cutting off his flesh and throwing it in the fire. Lord Shiva still didn't come. And then he took bath in the river and was going to cut off his head and throw it in the fire. But then Lord Shiva came and said, you don't need to do all this kind of austerities. You can just worship me with the little leaves from the bilva tree and some Ganges water. And he restored Rukeshwar's body back to normal. And since he gave, asked him, you can now ask for any benediction you want. So, asuras, of course, they ask for benedictions which are harmful. And Lord Shiva, it's described in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, the Lord Shiva doesn't accept these people. Banasura, or Bomasura, Banasura, Salva, so many demons were disciples of Lord Shiva. But he doesn't accept these kind of people as his disciples, but he gives them their benedictions. And he doesn't tell them whether their benedictions are good or bad for them. So, Trikashura said to Lord Shiva, I want the benediction, whoever I put my hand on anyone's head, it will crack. So this is a very stupid kind of benediction. But Lord Shiva gave it to him, said, okay, you have that. So like here, Hiranyakashipu wanted to become immortal, so he got to get the benediction from Lord Brahma, so he could occupy Lord Brahma's post. So Rikishura wanted to try out the benediction first on Lord Shiva. So he chased Lord Shiva all over the universe until he went to Vaikuntha Loka. And Lord Vishnu disguised himself as a Shiva Bhakta and said to Rikishura, that Lord Shiva is a liar. He's not giving you any benediction. Just put your hand on your head, and when nothing happens, you can kill him. So the demon forgot that he got that benediction, put his hand on his head, and his head cracked, and that was the end of that demon. So in the same way, Hiranyakashipu wants the benediction to become immortal so he can be the Lord of the universe, and even take the post of Lord Brahma. And it says in, when Rupa and Sanatan Goswami were living in Bengal, they were engaged in government service because the Muslims couldn't trust their own people. They made a movie, Lord Chaitanya, in Jagannath Puri in 1959. In that movie, one man had plotted to kill King Prataparuja and take his post. So the Muslims couldn't trust their own people, so they trusted the Hindus. So they forced Rupa and Sanatana Goswami to become ministers in the government. Because otherwise the Muslims were always afraid that their own men would rebel against them and take their posts. So this is the way of the demons. They're always fearful of other people, and the Muslims can't even trust their own people. So, so Lord Brahma, so Hiranyakashipu wanted to be immortal and wanted to take the post of Lord Brahma, which was not possible. But still, he got a very beautiful body. His body got restored, performed all kinds of austerity for 100 years. He meditated, and Lord Brahma was pleased to him and gave him all the benedictions he asked for. But then, at the end of that, Lord Vishnu came to Lord Brahma and said, "Don't give those that kind of benediction to anyone ever again." So in this way, there were many demons in the Krishna book. We hear about Banasura. He had 1,000 arms. Lord Shiva gave him 1,000 arms. But then he had a problem, that he couldn't find anyone who was capable of fighting with him. So out of frustration, he would go to the mountains and he would lop off the mountains with his arms just to have something to do, to satisfy his itch. But then Lord Shiva came and said, "One day you'll meet an opponent that will defeat you." So Manasura fought with Lord Krishna, and Krishna didn't kill him. He cut off all his arms, left him with four arms, because Manasura was in the family of Prahlad Maharaj, and Krishna vowed never to kill anyone in the family of Prahlad Maharaj. So he left Manasura with four arms, and Manasura became a devotee. But there was a demon named Salva. He only ate a handful of ashes for 1 year. You don't get much nutrition from ashes. So after 1 year, Lord Shiva came and said, "You can ask for a benediction." So he asked for an airplane that was indestructible. It could fly anywhere and do so many mischievous activities. Because he was he was a friend of Shishupal. And because Krishna killed Shishupal, he wanted to get revenge on the Yadu dynasty. So Salva got this airplane, and he'd fly his airplane all over and cause disturbance in Dwarka. And Krishna and the Yadu dynasty, they fought with Salva. And finally, Krishna was able to destroy his airplane and cut off Salva's head and kill him. And we know Jarasandha was a very formidable demon, and he put 16,100 queens in captivity. And those queens, then Krishna killed Jarasandha. Those queens were in separate apartments. So Krishna expanded himself, and the 16,100 queens, 100 forms, and went to all the queens. And the queen said, "Now we've been touched by another man. We can't go home." Because in Vedic culture, if a woman goes out of house and is touched by another man, then no one will accept her as her husband or accept her back. So Krishna said, "All right, then I'll marry all of you." So he took the 16,100 queens back to Dwarka and married them all. So this is the way of the demons. Demons like to give trouble to so many people. And Bhana Momashura was the son of Krishna, because his father was Raha, his mother was the earth. But Lord Chaitanya declared in Chaitanya Bhagavat that I'll even kill my own family members to protect my devotees. So Krishna killed Bhumasura because he was a devotee, but he had, due to bad association, he became a demon. And he imprisoned 20,800 kings. So when Krishna, so those kings were suffering greatly, they sent a messenger to Krishna to come and save them. So Krishna killed Bhumasura and released all those 20,800 kings. And they were suffering so much, but they were all devotees of Krishna. So Krishna told them, now when you become devotees and I've rescued you, he gave them nice clothing, gave them nice food, and he told them, now you go back to your kingdoms, protect the citizen, but don't have children outside of marriage. Don't have any illicit sex. So this was his result. It was Kartavir Arjuna, who had 1,000 arms. He thought he was very powerful. He even defeated Ravana. But Parasuram killed him. And Kamsa thought he was formidable, but Krishna killed him also. So all the demons are subject to death, either by being killed by the Lord or by natural arrangements. Only the demigods, Brahma, Ansachiloka, Tapaloka, and Janaloka, those residents, are not subject to death. They must go back to Godhead at the end of the dissolution of the universe. So the scientists say they went to the moon and it's just a barren desert. And they say there's no life on any other planets. But we don't accept that philosophy. We know there's life on every single planet, but it's not the same as this planet. According to the atmosphere, the bodies are changed different. But this is a foolish misconception, and due to the false ego of the scientists, they thinking that this planet is the best planet, and we're the best people, and there's nothing on any other planet. But a Brahma, Bhuvana, Loka, from the highest planet down to the lowest, are all, people are there, and they have to go through repeated birth and death, and suffering. So, we are Prabhupada organized this Bhaktivedanta Institute to preach the scientists, to make them actually understand what the facts are, what the truth is, and that the life is not a combination of chemicals, and that there's no life on any other planet. They say they went to the moon planet, but Prabhupada disagreed. He said, no, not possible to go to the moon planet by mechanical means. So in any way, we can study Prabhupada's books, we can study the fifth canto. Now they're constructing a temple in Mayapur with the, it's going to be the structure, show the universal structure of the universe. But when Brahma went to see Krishna in Dwarka, the doorman said to Brahma, which Brahma are you? And he said, I'm the father of the four Kumaras, the four-headed Brahma. So Krishna said, so the doorman said, okay, you can go and see Krishna. So Brahma offered obeisances to Krishna, and Krishna said, why have you come? So Brahma said, before I answer your question, I want to know, why did you ask, which Brahma am I? Are there other Brahmas? He didn't know. So immediately, by Krishna's yogamaya potency, all the other Brahmas, all the other universes came. And some had 10 heads, Some had 1,000 heads, some had 1,000,000 heads, some had 10,000,000 heads. But only the Brahma with the four heads could see all the other Brahmas. The other Brahmas couldn't see the other Brahmas. So they all offered obeisances to Krishna. And Krishna asked the Brahmas, "Is it peaceful? Are the demons attacking? Are you peaceful?" And so all the other universes, this is only one universe, all the other universes have the same arrangements, 14 planetary systems, and and the demigods and the everything is the same, only the size is different. According to the head of Brahma, the size of the universe is according to the head of Brahma. So this universe, Brahma only has four heads. So this is the smallest universe. And Srimad Bhagavatam has 18,000 verses or slokas on this planet, but on other planets it has many more slokas. So this is the understanding that this, that this whole creation begins with the material world as one quarter of the whole creation. And Vaikuntha, then there's Maheshtam, with the abode of Lord Shiva, then there's the Vaikuntha Lokas, where Lord Vishnu resides, and then there's Golok Vrindavan, which is the highest, the biggest of all the realms, where Krishna's there with all his loving devotees. And Goloke Premadana Harinam Sankirtana. So this holy name of the Lord, the Yuga Dharma, chanting Hare Krishna, has descended from the spiritual world. And therefore, it is the goal of all Gaudiya Vaishnavas not to, we don't desire liberation, we don't want to go to Vaikuntha, we want to go to Krishna Loka and attain Prema Bhakti. Hare Krishna. So time is up. Cannot answer any questions right now. Hare Krishna. And glory to Srila Prabhupada. Antaraj Bhagavad Gita Kajaya.